Good morning, church. So at our house, we've started to discuss our summer 2017 plans. Where are we going to go on holidays this year? Last summer, we were off on the East Coast. We went to PEI, and it was amazing there. And personally, I'd love to see our family go back there this summer, because one of my favorite memories, it was an amazing beach day. And it was the kind with those huge waves that are just waiting to be jumped. And we get there, and Sean, my husband, and our three kids go straight into the ocean, and I follow, and I get in, and I'm kind of up maybe to my knees, and I stop. It's cold. It's really cold, like unbearably cold. And I'm looking out at my family, and they're jumping the waves. They're kind of getting pummeled by the waves. They're not really jumping, but they're calling out to me, "Are you coming?" Did I want to go deeper? And these conditions were not ideal for me. It was uncomfortable. I didn't like it. It was mostly unpleasant. "Are you coming?" they call. To be honest, now I'm looking at the waves, and I'm thinking, this is a little risky. Right? Because when you look at the size of those waves from when you're up close, now they're huge, right? So now I'm getting a little fearful. These are my kids, and there's possibly undertow. Maybe we should all be getting out of the ocean. "Are you coming?" they call. And it's cold, and I'm feeling unsafe, but did I really want to miss what was waiting for me out there? I could see. It was sweet and rich joy. But it's disagreeable, and it's out of my control, and I'm kind of troubled. But did I want to miss what was waiting for me out there? Because that was irresistible, rare joy. "Are you coming?" they call. And I'm hanging in the shallows, right, where you don't have to get uncomfortable, and you can control your environment, and it's nice, and it's safe. The truth is, I'm not so interested in the shallows. I like the deep. So I headed out into that ridiculously cold ocean, into those waves. And I think that this is true of our walk. You know, don't we want to experience deeply? I think we all want that. You know, we long to see God's powerful transformation at work in our own lives, in our church. We want to see God moving throughout our world. And in this series, we have had a chance to engage that way. You know, this is going to the deep. We've been looking at those specific pathways that lead us into a rich encounter with God. We've been looking at practices or habits as we've seen them discussed throughout Scripture, where God's people have experienced a greater manifestation of His presence, of His power. And these are the practices of God's people. Our first week, we looked at fasting. We've also looked at gathering together. We've been identifying pathways of the early church, practices like prayer. We talked about our personal prayer life. We talked about hearing God. We talked about interceding for others. And we saw how God's people were experiencing His blessing and His power. And then last week, we looked at the study and the discipline of God's Word, applying His Scripture. Today, we are continuing in this series, and we're talking about love. Love as a habit to cultivate as we walk. Love as a practice that we need to grow in. Love as a discipline that we need to develop. On the surface, we can probably think that we do a really good job of loving, whether it's our parents or our spouses or our kids or maybe the people where we serve or our church family. But we want to make sure that we're loving with a love that God calls us to. What does God's love look like? What does Scripture tell us about it? You know, what are we called to as disciples of Jesus? How do we love as God calls us to? God's love is very different than our love. You know, it can make us feel uncomfortable. It runs contrary to culture, that's for sure, and often is opposing to the way that we feel. God's love is not the shallows. And learning to cultivate love as a practice is going to the deep. But I know one thing. I know that going to the deep is where we want to go, and the Father is there, and he's calling. Are we coming? And I don't want to miss out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity today to gather, to learn more about you. We want to hear from you, God. We pray that you speak to us this day. Would you open our ears in a new way that we would receive you, God? Would you soften our hearts that you would speak to us? God, I ask for me that you put your truth in my mouth, that I do not add to it nor take away from it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So over and over again throughout Scripture, God is pointing us to the powerful importance of love. And we see lots of examples of it. God commands us to it. We're nothing without it. Scripture tells us in 1 John 4:7 that everyone who loves knows God. So if we want to have an experience, if we want to experience a relationship with God, then we have to love. And we know that we need to grow in our love. We saw it in the early church. In Acts 2:45, it tells us that they were selling their possessions and their goods that they gave to anyone as he had need. They were devoted. They were pooling their resources so that every person's need was met. It was sacrificial love and caring and supporting and helping each other. You know, love among Christians is the mark of Christ. Love is what shows the world, it proves to the world that we follow Jesus. Jesus tells us in John 13:35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And repeatedly throughout God's word, God shows us the clear and the significant importance of love. What are the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave us? Love God with everything, and love others as ourselves. Matthew 22:37 through 39. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said that everything hangs on this. Loving God with everything, and loving others as ourselves. And Paul tells us that without love, we're nothing. We have nothing, we gain nothing. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and this is the Message translation, "If I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love." And it goes on later in that chapter, chapter 13, to say that of faith, hope, and love, love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. So over and over again throughout Scripture, God is pointing to the powerful importance of love, and we see it modeled. The word tells us that we're nothing without it. God calls us to love. We need to be growing in Christ-like love. We need to be cultivating a greater and a deeper love for God and for his people. We need to be growing in love. Okay, but what is it? Right? Because I've heard that what is love is the number one Google search. And there's all kinds of definitions out there. You know, in culture today, we hear things like, "I love Thai food. I love my husband. I love my job. I love say yes to the dress." This isn't something that I've said. This is something that I've heard Daryl say. Okay. So there are tons and tons of influencers, right? Like our current emotional state or our family relationships. And they can be too, like our physiological reactions or our environments or those circumstances that affect us. And we hear expressions like, just follow your heart. But Jeremiah 17:9 says that our hearts are deceitful above all things. So as Christians, we know better. We know better. It's risky to follow our heart's direction. It's wiser to direct our hearts. So what does God say about love? How does Scripture define it? Well, there's over 600 verses with love in it. But in 1 John 4, Scripture tells us clearly, God is love. God is love. He is the source. You know, love comes from God because love is his very nature. God gives love because he is love. I read Piper describe it this way: the same way that sun gives light because it's light and fire gives heat because it's heat, God gives love because he is love. Love isn't a feeling. It isn't abstract or passive. God is love. 1 John 4:16 says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love." Do we know and believe the love that God has for us? Do we know and believe the depth of God's love for us? And Scripture tells us about it. Right? It says that God's love is personal and it's passionate. He lovingly created man in his image, and he said that it was very good. He created man freely, and I'm not out of any need of his, because God doesn't need anything. We were created out of love, God's love. He knows us, the number of hairs on our head. He saw our unformed bodies. He ordained our days. And we can see the depth of God's love in his protection of us. Nothing can separate us from his love. We are protected from the evil one. We cannot be snatched from our Father's hand. You know, God's love defends the poor, the sick, the orphan, the widow. God's love pursues us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We need not be afraid, for he is always with us. He will leave the 99 sheep in the open to go after the one lost sheep. He will not relent. God's love is patient and kind. He is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. God's love is perfect. He is holy, unchanging, faithful, and constant. God's love never fails. God's love recklessly is selfless and sacrificial. God gave his only son to rescue the world. He gave Jesus, who paid the price for a debt that we owed. Remember back when God created Adam and Eve, and then they disobeyed God, and sin entered the world, and then it spread through all the goodness that God had created, and it left a legacy of sin and brokenness and guilt and damage and shame and heartache and death. And at this point, you would think that God would toss us out and start over. But our God does not do that. He loves us despite our being unlovely. He has a redemptive plan for mankind. And we can know the depth of God's love in this. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love runs really deep. And do we feel the fierce impact of that verse? You know, when we think about God's love, or do we just kind of stare at it with wonder, sort of at a distance, like one might look at Niagara Falls? It's huge and lofty, and it's hard to connect to. Right? Because it's too big to know. Well, when we stand in the shallows, we're staring from a long way off. But if we head into those waves, then we can see the true depth. And we can see the true depth of God's love by what it cost. You know, we can know the depth of Christ's love by the greatness of what it cost him. When Jesus left the glory of heaven to be born a man, majesty, in a human body. He lived an earthly life. He was despised and rejected. He was pierced and crushed and died an excruciating death on a cross for our sins, that we can know eternal life. The depth of God's love can be seen in what it costs. And we can also know the depth of God's love for us by the freedom with which it was given. And God doesn't love like this because he had to. He loves like this because he wants to. And it's like an insurance company paying after an accident. We don't marvel at the insurance company's reimbursement. However, if a friend calls us every day after that same accident, we understand this to be love because it's free and it's willing. We see the depth of Christ's love for us by which the freedom that he gives it to us. John 10:18 says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord." We can also know the depth of God's love by how little we deserve it. The more undeserving we are, the more amazing and deep his love is for us. You know, it's really interesting this past week. I kept getting hit by sort of these terrible memories of my past. You know, things that really I wanted to forget, bad decisions, awful situations, things that I brought on myself, some things I inherited from circumstances. And as I'm remembering them, I just felt shame. And I couldn't figure out why all these things were coming to mind. And so I kept praying the memories away and re-asking for forgiveness. And it just kept swirling. And it felt awful. And it was then that I felt God whisper to me, "If you cannot see the depth of your depravity, how will you ever understand the extent of my grace?" Because if we don't see the depth of our junk, we will never be able to receive the full impact of his love. The more undeserving we are, the more amazing his love is. You know, and please understand that undeserving doesn't mean worthless. Right? In fact, I think God thinks the opposite. We were worth dying for. But it does show us this, that we can know the depth of God's love by how little we deserve it. And Jesus shows us this, and he continues this lesson. In Luke 7, verses 36 through 47, there's a story about a party that Jesus went to. It's a dinner party, and it's hosted by a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And at this party, a prostitute enters, and she's brought perfume, and she wants to anoint Jesus. And this is a custom that's usually done by pouring oil onto the person's head, but she sees Jesus, and she hits the floor, and she starts to anoint Jesus' feet with what she has, her perfume and her tears. And then she does something else. She lets her hair down, and this wasn't ever done. It's a social violation. Jewish women kept their hair bound or hidden. But this, by taking her hair down, it was an act of worship and an act of love. And she dries the feet of Jesus with her hair. And Simon is watching this, and he's getting angry. And he starts stewing. And Jesus knows Simon's thoughts, so he addresses Simon's behavior. He gives him a parable. It's verses 41 through 43. Jesus says, "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Simon invites Jesus to his home. but he doesn't treat him as he deserves. There's no customary courtesies. There's no kiss of greeting. There's no washing of the feet. There's no oil for his head. The prostitute arrives, and she lavishly pours out her love for Jesus. That's because she has an understanding that Simon doesn't. Jesus explains, "I tell you, her sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Simon doesn't pour out love because he doesn't see himself that way. The more undeserving we are, the more amazing and deep is his love for us. A person can't give what they haven't received in their hearts. Love is a response. It's a response to how much we've been forgiven. It's a response to how much we have received. It's a response to how much we are loved. And I believe that this is our starting point. This is how we love much. We give love by first receiving love. We love because he loved us first. God's love for us gives our hearts the reason to love others. So as we receive God's love in our heart, we respond in love. It's a natural reaction. But added to that, God calls us to love. It's a package deal. In Ephesians 5:1-2 reads, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." So how do we do that? Live a life of love. Well, just as God's love for us gives our hearts the reason to love others, God's love in us give our hearts the ability to love others. We look at the words of Paul in his prayer in Ephesians 3:17. "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong." As a tree draws nutrients from the soil, we draw nutrients from our Father. And God's love is our strength. Sometimes it is not easy to love. You know, sometimes there are people in our life that are very difficult to love. Or also, maybe they've been the source of heartache or abuse or rejection or loneliness. How do we love people who have caused us such pain? When we lack love, too, I think that we start to think that maybe that's about lacking effort. So then we try harder, we dig deeper, we strive, we do more. Right? But that doesn't work. It's just exhausting. We can't love like God loves. No one can except Christ. And that's our hope, Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And we don't need to strive in human effort. We need to remember that we are branches abiding in the vine. We are grafted into the vine, and in there we find our strength. It's in Christ that we bear fruit. Right, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's at the front. It's the first fruit listed there. And this fruit is not from us trying harder or digging deeper or striving. This fruit is from the Spirit of God. Love is from God. Apart from him, we cannot do this. It's God's love in us that gives our hearts the ability to love others. And as we stay put and hold tightly to him, God's love through us then gives our hearts the way to love others. And this is where we see God's love expressed. You know, this is where we love the way that God loves. And we've already talked about some of the ways that God loves. And Scripture is loaded with the ways that God loves. You look at the beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians 13. It's so well known for its verses about what love does and what it doesn't. And then in 1 John 3, Scripture tells us about loving one another. In Romans 12, it reminds us about sincere love. And in Matthew 5, it tells us to love our enemies. The Scripture is loaded with ways. And I just want to call out three for us. Three ways that we can consider. The first is that we are for the ones that we love. The second is that we delight in the ones that we love. And the third is that we give to the ones that we love. So the first is that we are for the ones that we love. When we love with a love that is for the ones we love, it means that we're in someone's corner. And it means we're loving them with a love that encourages them, that believes in them. It is to be on their side. It protects, it trusts, it hopes in, it perseveres with. You know, it's the kind of love that wants to see their potential realized. You know, this kind of love is sometimes lovingly confrontational. It challenges. You know, we think of Jesus with the woman at the well. God does not leave us where we are. You know, to be for someone is to show up. You go where they are. You support them in what they're doing. You pray for them and with them. To be for someone is to listen up. There's a time to speak and a time to listen. And encouragement isn't always about words. To be for them, though, and when appropriate, is to speak up. And it's to say the words that people need to hear that help them to become stronger. We are for the ones we love. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? The second is we delight in the ones we love. And God's love is freely given. When we delight in someone, we are celebrating them. We are enjoying. We are paying attention to. When we love this way, we turn our hearts with intention. We turn our face. We turn our eyes to them. We say you are valuable. You are noticed. And Jesus saw people. He saw a tax collector up in a tree. He saw a woman who gave everything she had with those two small coins. He noticed the blind, the hurting, the woman desperate for healing as she touched the hem of his robe. Jesus saw people. He turned his face to people. When we freely express love, we intentionally delight. We say you are treasured. We delight in the ones we love. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Lastly, we give to and serve the ones we love. Love gives. It gives sacrificially, gives selflessly. It's in small things like putting people in front of us in line at the grocery store or picking up our neighbor's trash cans that have rolled down the street. It's in big things like patience and grace and kindness and mercy and forgiveness. And with a humble heart, we honor others before ourselves. Giving is how love expresses itself. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And his son gave his life that we might have life. And we don't do this just in the big stuff. We do this in the small stuff, the everyday things. In this moment, I have an opportunity to give. I can humbly put myself second and love with a giving love that serves. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Three things, that we be for the ones we love, that we delight in the ones we love, and that we give to the ones we love. And we are expressing God's love through us. And when it gets tough, when things start to fall off the rails, when our peace is threatened or our circumstances change, when God gives us these beautiful opportunities to love, but it's hard and we can't see how, we remember that God's love for us gives our hearts the reason to love others, that God's love in us gives our hearts the ability to love others, that God's love through us gives our hearts the way to love others. Loving God calls us to a love that is wide and long and high and deep, but the Father is calling, are we coming? May we continue to grow in loving much. And will we ever love perfectly? Not on this side of heaven, but we will love better than we have. You know, God for us, in us, and through us. And when patience or gentleness or kindness are scarce, we can thank God for His, and we can ask Him to make us full. You know, when it's hard to forgive, instead of making that list of wrongs, we will turn it over to Jesus and make a list of all the times that we have been forgiven. And when feelings try to derail us, instead of falling off track, we will be obedient to God's command to freely and sacrificially love. We will abide in Christ's love in us. May we be a church that is characterized by a courageous love that sacrificially expresses His transforming presence to the world. And by this, that we would be known as Jesus' disciples. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for this opportunity to learn about You today and to learn about Your love. We pray, Father, that You continue to speak to us and teach us through Your word, that we would write Your scripture on our heart, God, and that we would remember it when things get tough. God, would You help us to receive Your love in new and impactful ways? God, we want to understand the depth of Your love with new capacity. God, that we might give with new capacity. It's only in You, as we abide in You, that we would be able to do so, God. So God, hold us to You, that we wouldn't drift away. And God, would You help us to love in difficult circumstances, that we would be a people that would be known by our sacrificial love that's freely given, like a love that You give, God. May we be Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.